Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. What makes something funny and how important is humor? Today, we look at the psychology of humor, particularly in film. Humor is a universal human experience, and movies are a powerful medium for delivering laughter. Last month, we talked about horror and suspense. With so much troubling news in the world, we thought we would escape in a bit of comedy this morning. With us, psychiatrist Mark Whaley. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning.
Psychiatrist Jonathan Schwartz. Good morning.
Hi there.
Social worker Jenny Putnam.
Hello. Hi,
Jenny. And film critic for the Cape Cod Wave, Tim Miller. He also teaches film courses at Cape Cod Community Colleges and co-president of the Boston Society of Film Critics. Good morning.
Hey, Mindy.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. All right. So before we get into talking about films, I thought we would set the mood with a bit of sound that if it doesn't make you laugh out loud, I know it will at least make you smile. What's funnier than baby laugh, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that. And I see him looking around. Every one of you are smiling, right?
There's something about that that is just so, I feel like I'm going to be using the word delight a lot today. And there's something that just fills you with delight when you hear that. And the longer you hear it, the more delighted you are, I think.
I also think that it's laughter is kind of contagious. And I'm thinking, you know, when you have the TV shows with the laugh tracks and, you know, I don't know if we would find all of the stuff in these, you know, comedies on TV as funny if we didn't hear some of those hysterical laughter.
I think you're right. Laugh tracks, I think someday people are going to look back at laugh tracks and they're going to think, boy, these human beings were absurd. I mean, it's like, really? We need to be told when something's funny? Mm-hmm. It's like, whereas something like, say, I don't know if you remember the Days and Nights of Molly Dodd. It didn't last long, but it didn't have a laugh track. It was like, it was a very smart humor.
Yeah. Mark,
I was just going to say, there is a downside to the laugh tracks, because sometimes they're laughing at it's just not funny. It's a discordant feeling. You say, what am I missing something that I can't get this? So
producers are saying, we need a little laugh right here.
Yeah.
All right, so the assignment was for us to pick the funniest movie we've ever seen. And I think choosing last month, the scariest movie was a lot easier.
Yeah.
This is hard because there's so many different types of comedy and depending on your mood and... And so, Jenny, I'm going to go to you first. What did you pick?
Oh, well, you know, I had listed a couple, so I'm just going to go ahead and say a couple.
Go ahead.
So I really love old, what was the word you used?
Screwball
comedies. So Ball of Fire is just, I just love it with these professors who are like children and this smart talking mall who comes in and sort of disrupts everything. But I also love Buckaroo Banzai. And I think, and we'll talk more about this, I think because humor actually is a lot about attachment and connecting to people, that some of that is because those were movies I laughed at with my dad.
Yeah. All right. So Dan actually pulled up a little clip from Buckaroo Banzai. So let's take a listen.
Hey, don't be mean. We don't have to be mean. Because remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Funny and profound.
Yeah, tell it.
Oh boy, Mark, what was your funniest, or did you have a tough time with that too?
Oh, I had a tough time. I certainly looked toward Mel Brooks, his career, and I can't say what's better than comparing Young Frankenstein, The Producers, Blazing Saddles, High Anxiety, History of the World.
Yeah,
they have a mixture of all kinds of humor.
Yeah.
Some slapstick, some ridiculous situations. What was the one about the Nazis?
Springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler. Thank you.
The
Producers. Yeah.
He was asked at one point, I remember, why do you make fun of? You're Jewish. Why do you make fun of World War II and the Nazis? So he says, who else is entitled to do it? But other people are better entitled to do it than the Jews.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of you think about it and it's funny. It's that the response is funny. It's appropriate in many ways because of, you know, the horrible abuse. And if you can turn some horrible abuse and have it in the light of comedy, that's healing.
Yeah.
And that's rising above it.
One thing Mel Brooks said about, he said, comedy is tragedy plus time. This right. means that we can often laugh at things that were once tragic once enough time has passed. We're going to talk a little bit more about Mel Brooks coming up in a little bit later in the show. So mostly anything Mel Brooks is what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Jonathan, what about you?
Blazing Saddles was at the top of my list. And I think it's interesting that, you know, both Mark and I would select that kind of humor, which is a lot sort of really more intellectual humor, you know, play on words and puns and that sort of thing, as opposed to more physical humor. Although I've always thought that, for example, Kramer in Seinfeld, you know, is always a source of fabulous laughter. And again, even though this isn't a movie, I'd like to also refer to a TV show with Ricky Gervais, Afterlife.
Oh, hilarious.
Which to me had me both in tears of sadness and tears of laughter with every episode.
Yep. Mm.
And to be able to elicit both tears of sadness and tears of laughter juxtaposed repeatedly episode after episode is really a unique talent.
Mm.
That's, a sort of a separate question.
Yeah,
but
no.
I think Ricky Gervais is an extremely funny guy.
Yeah.
Whatever he's done. And, of course, The Office also was his creation.
All right. What about you, Tim?
Well, one thing I wanted to mention was as far as, like, Nazis. I wanted to talk about – let's talk about Nazis for a minute since we're doing something on humor. You know, Chaplin did The Last Dictator in 1940.
Mm.
And so while it was happening too, I mean, it was a different thing. But what a great slap in the face to Hitler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear he's at the height of his power. And Chaplin's making him look like a clown.
Yeah.
And so there's that element too.
Yeah.
My favorites, I have two.
Okay, go ahead.
Annie Hall,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, there's a scene about talking about laugh tracks where he's appalled. He goes to L.A. and he's appalled, but his friend has a TV sitcom, and they're like turning the dials. Now, give me a little laugh here, a chuckle. Now a big guffaw, you know, and he's like, you know, the absurdity of that.
Now, Charlie, give me a good laugh here.
Club. Really? Bazinga.
Little bigger.
Max, you realize how immoral this all is?
Max, I got a hit series.
Yeah, just I know, but you're adding fake laughs.
Yeah, give me a tremendous laugh here.
Bazinga.
I do the show live in front of an audience.
Right, but nobody laughs at it because the jokes aren't funny.
Yeah, well, that's why this machine is dynamite.
And Young Frankenstein
yeah.
is the other one, another Mel Brooks. And Blazing Saddles, I know, you know, I think Brooks said something like, in terms of number of laughs, that he thought Blazing Saddles was the most successful, but his favorite of his comedies was Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just they're nails the genre in such a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both so genius, really.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are. Well, it's twoo.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Everything, all the characterizations are just, I mean, Cloris Leachman's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan has a clip of Young Frankenstein, but I'm not sure which one he's going to pull up here. Let's take a listen.
And it was you all the time.
Yes.
You played that music in the middle of the night.
Yes.
To get us into the laboratory.
Yes.
That was your cigar smoldering in the ashtray.
Yes.
And it was you who left my grandfather's book out for me to find.
Yes!
So that I would...
Yes!
Then you and Victor were...
Yes! Yes! Say it! He was my boyfriend!
Oh, I guess when they were filming the scenes, Cloris Leachman they had to keep shooting it because Gene Wilder would just crack up at right. Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was quite a hot ticket. You guys are going to be surprised what I picked. I had a really hard time with this because there's so many movies, but I'm thinking, okay, lately, what do I find funny lately?
Yeah.
And that would be, of course, children's movies.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I watch them with my grandson.
Sure.
So I have two, Secret Life of Pets 1
yeah.
and Secret Life of Pets 2. They are absolutely hysterical. Normally, the sequels are never as good as the yeah. first one, but I think in this case, it is.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, Kevin Hart as Snowball,
so
Rabbit,
funny.
So funny.
Hey, Snowball, what are you doing?
What's it look like I'm doing? I'm looking for crime, tiny dog. I'm doing superhero stuff. Tip, 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 tip. Let me tell you something. Anybody comes in here looking for trouble? Oh, they're going to meet my partners. I'm talking about Paul and Order.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you do know that your owner is just playing superhero, right? You're just wearing some superhero pajamas.
Dana Carvey as Pops, the dog training the puppies.
Okay, now, Pops quiz. Myron has hidden socks all over the room. Now, what do we do with human socks?
Oh, me!
Go ahead, Princess.
We hide them, Mr. Pops.
Correct-a-rooney! And why do we hide them?
Not knowing where one sock is messes with the human's minds.
Heck yes, it does. Always keep them guessing. Now go find those socks!
And then the second one, Harrison Ford, is the voice of Rooster, the big dog on the farm. And the cat lady, I mean, oh my gosh. And Chloe, the cat, it's just hysterical. If you haven't seen it and you don't have kids, I'm telling you, Secret Life of Pets 1, and then follow it up with Secret Life Pets 2, and you will laugh a lot. Yeah. A lot of adult humor in there, even though it's for kids.
Yeah.
And they do that a lot in the Disney movies, don't they? There's always some lines in there to make
for
parents
us,
laugh
yeah.
that the kids don't always catch on to. We already have a call. Courtney's calling us from Falmouth. We haven't even given the number yet. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great.
Hey, I've got a movie. It's Jacques Tati, My Uncle. Mm. Does that ring a bell with
yep.
anybody
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Well, he made several movies. I mean, he was considered sort of this giant of comedy in France, you know. I think like
yeah,
what
I
late
to...
50s maybe
Yes, yes. Yes, and I went to see it in a movie theater in Boston, and people were literally crying, and I swear to God, rolling in the aisles.
Mm. Like, well, both, yeah. It,
you know, and as soon as I heard you say this morning that you were looking at the funniest movies you had ever seen, that's the one thing that popped into my head. I haven't thought about it for years.
Mm. Ah, oh, great.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for calling with
okay.
that, Courtney. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a good
Since
one.
He mentioned French movie, I'm just thinking back. There was a movie that, when it was in the theaters, I laughed out loud in the theater, and that was La Cage aux Folles, which
oh,
was made
yes,
into
hilarious.
The
oh,
American
yes.
version was The Birdcage
yeah.
with Robin Williams
yeah.
and Nathan Lane, which was also funny. But the French version, I just thought was
yeah.
absolutely
yeah.
hysterical
yeah.
and
huge
that,
hit.
Yeah, that's if you don't know, that's a gay cabaret owner and his drag queen companion agree to put up a false straight front so that their son can introduce them to his fiance's right wing family.
The remake was funny, but not as funny.
Not
the
as
American,
funny as the French.
Not as
but, yeah.
funny as the French. Yeah,
which usually is the case yeah. when they remake French movies. It's usually something's lost. The
je ne
humor.
Sais quoi.
Yeah, there you go.
We're talking about the psychology of humor, particularly in movies this morning. 866-999-4626 if you'd like to share your thoughts on a funny movie that you saw or humorous. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a break.
I am Frau Blücher.
You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the psychology of humor this morning, particularly in film. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us, psychiatrist Mark Whaley, psychiatrist Jonathan Schwartz, social worker Jenny Putnam, and film critic Tim Miller. Importance of humor. We should talk a little bit about, I know we'll talk some more about some of the films, but what do we get out of humor? Who wants to jump in?
I'll jump okay. in just because this is sort of a thing therapists use, that when you are laughing, it means you feel safe And if you feel safe, you're able to think more clearly. So we talk about the window of tolerance, that when people get too afraid, they become hyper aroused. So that's fight or flight, or they become hypo aroused, which is freeze or collapse. And if you're laughing, you can often process information that you can't when you get outside of that window of tolerance. So sometimes even a patient will feel themselves starting to move outside of that window of tolerance, and they'll make a joke. And then we can go back and talk about the stuff that's so difficult for them to talk about again. And I'm reminded, and we were talking earlier about this, of the movie Barbie, which is dealing with a complicated issue that we've been certainly aware of and talking about since Me Too. But I have heard more people saying, oh, I get it now, after seeing Barbie, than I ever heard after any of the other stuff. And I think it's because they're laughing throughout the film. And so they're able to take in, you know, this scene. My favorite scene is when Ken is saying to some executive, so men aren't in charge anymore. And the executive gives him a little wink and says, we're still in charge. We're just better at hiding it now, you know, which is funny, but also feels true. But we're able to take it in a different way.
Yeah.
You can think of humor or laughing as the polar opposite of stress, of being stressed. Everything that stress does to you in terms of ravaging your body, humor helps. So that goes from heart health to physical pain, basically everything, because your mind is off all worries. That's somewhere forgotten or in the background, and you're in the present moment, which is safe, like Jenny was saying, so it's really a relief from stress. It has a lot of social benefits in terms of binding people together. People that laugh together stay together, I suppose you could say. Mm-hmm. It helps with physical health.
Yeah.
All the physical systems in your body are benefited with humor.
Yeah, think about that.
I'd like to also remind people of Norman Cousins, who really kind of made laughter famous for the treatment of physical ailments. I can't remember the name of his book that was so famous, but I can't remember the name of it. But I'm just reading here. Norman Cousins laughed his way back to health and life. He was given a few months to live in 1964. And he had a lot of pain from ankylosing spondylitis, and which is a connective tissue disease. But anybody who goes to Amazon or any bookstore can look up what he wrote. And he made kind of famous the watching of funny movies as a way, or TV shows as a way of feeling better. I personally think of laughter as a kind of psychological massage, analogous to a physical massage.
Oh,
and
I like that.
For me, you guys know I go to British Columbia once a year, and I go fishing with a group of old friends, and I come back refreshed, not from the fishing, not from being out of doors, but really from spending a week to 2 weeks with friends just laughing about whatever we think is funny. I guess we all have the same sense of humor.
And just thinking about the exercise your diaphragm gets with a big belly laugh, right? So yeah, all this. So it's good for us physically, mentally. And there's different kinds of funny though, right? Different types of humor. I think I'm attracted to a lot of different types of humor. And I mean, we have slapstick, right? We have verbal comedy, situational comedy, irony, satire. I like them all.
Yeah,
we were talking also about mean.
Oh, yeah, mean humor. Mean, like the movie Mean Girls.
Mean Girls,
right.
Yeah.
Which in real life is not funny, but on the movie it is.
Yeah, because we're in on it. So I think that another thing about laughter is that the people, sort of what Mark said, but if you're all laughing together, it means you're part of a group, which we've talked a lot over the years about how important it is to feel like you belong somewhere. And mean humor says we're in, you're out. Mm-hmm. And when we're watching it in a movie, we're part of the in-group.
Yeah.
Also, people that have a good sense of humor or tell the jokes well are tend to be more popular and valued. It helps in terms of dating, for instance, if you're at that stage of life. because they're sought after. Supposedly, it has to do with a view that they're more intelligent maybe better providers. So it helps with mating.
For men, it does.
Yeah. So I was thinking just sort of silliness, and we have this clip from Pink Panther.
Does your deer go bad?
No.
Nice deer again. I thought you said your deer did not bite.
That is not my talk.
I just love that line. That old Pink Panther, Peter Sellers, is just so funny, right?
Yeah. That it's sort of an absurdist moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also this juxtaposition of the unexpected, you know, which is often where we find humor is in the unexpected, where you're thinking it's this person's dog. And right. This is a normal interaction.
Right.
And normally a person would say, oh, that's not my dog.
Yeah.
But instead,
I don't know
say,
about
no,
that one. My dog doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. My dog doesn't bite. Yeah. That is not my dog.
Rich called in to say he suggests Monty Python, of course, a favorite. Course. I can remember, Monty Python. My dad used to find that hysterical, which I always found surprising. I don't know why I was surprised they like Monty Python, but I was. Ken is giving us a call from East Falmouth. Hi, Ken.
Hi, what a great subject you're on right now. Humor is one of the things we absolutely need to get us through the dark times in life. And right now there are a lot of dark times.
For sure.
But I wanted to mention the TV series MASH, which is funny to this day, especially the early years, like when McLane Stevenson was Henry Blake.
Yeah.
They had one particular episode I absolutely love, and I love quoting lines from it to Mike. I work as a home health aide for the VNA, and I take care of elderly people, and I like to quote lines from some of the dialogue. And they had an episode called A Smattering of Intelligence, where this crazy CIA man, Colonel Flagg, showed up with a broken arm after his chopper crashed. Well, after Hawkeye set the arm, he went to the swamp with Trapper John, and he meet up with this other intelligent agent that's trying to find out why Colonel Flagg is there. And Hawkeye says, well, this chopper crashed. He broke his arm. And then the intelligence agent, oh, that old trick. And Hawkeye says, what trick? I saw the x-rays. I said his arm. And the other intelligent agent says, well, if I know Flagg, he ordered that chopper to crash, got out, and hit himself with a hammer. And
Hawkeye says,
what are you talking about? And he said, well, it was a switch on the way he infiltrated CID, crashed his Jeep into a wall, and set himself on fire. And Hawkeye says, this guy available for kids' parties?
You know, this is how fast Dan is. Dan's got the clip. Go ahead, play it, Dan.
Wait a minute. You are very smart, Friedman.
I told you.
You were only saying Chandler flipped out, so I will have you busted, and you can return to your safe, cozy civilian practice.
He's on to you, Sid.
You're not smart, Friedman. You're dumb. Very dumb. But you've met your match in me.
I remember that episode, too, when Sidney Freeman was checking on an officer, a bombardier pilot, who thought he was Jesus Christ, and Colonel Flagg thought he was just goal-breaking.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that guy was. And every time he showed up six times in the course of the series run. He got less and less tightly wrapped, and he was just going off the rails. And everybody, and at one point, Colonel Potter said, some loco weed must have gotten into his feed. Does he always act like that?
That's funny. Ken, thanks for bringing that, because, you know, that thing about MASH was all of the characters in that were so good. All of, you know, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite, because although I did like Colonel Klinger.
Oh, no, there were some funny moments that everyone had a chance to do. Margaret Houlihan got drunk once time, and so they had some casualties coming, and she ran up to McLane Stevenson's character and said, Major Houlihan reporting for duty, sir. Where are the casualties? He said, they're not hit here, Major. Well, let's go get them. I'll drive. And then he said, Major, you're snocker. And he goes, I'm not so drunk as you think I am.
Ken, thanks for that. Thanks for reminding us of those episodes. Appreciate that. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeendislands.org. So what are your thoughts on how humor works to make us laugh? Because some things, you know, it's like something Jenny finds super funny, I might not. And like, why is she laughing at that? And the opposite, right? Yeah. So what is it that makes a particular person laugh at a particular type of comedy? Do we even know?
I don't think we do know. But I was really thinking about this. Again, I mentioned this earlier about Melissa McCarthy, who I find hilarious.
She is funny.
And John Belushi, who I did not find hilarious. And I know everybody found him hilarious, but I did not. Yeah. I just didn't get it. And they have a very similar physical humor, but when Melissa McCarthy does it, I feel like I'm in on the joke. Like, I feel like I identify with her in a different way that I never identified with John Belushi. And so I feel like she's winking at me and I'm in on the joke. So again, I'm going to go back to this sort of being part of something, joining people together, this delight in each other kind of thing, even though she's not delighting in me. But I'm sure she would.
Kind of lean toward the biology. The thing that's in common with all the different people that have different laugh at different things is the human brain, and the human brain is works on the basis of prediction, and prediction works on the basis of what your experiences have been, and everybody has different experiences, so you perceive the world differently according to what your experiences have, what memories have been laid down. So naturally, if humor has a content which triggers something in your experience that releases some tension, you're going to respond to it, whereas the next guy might not, because they don't have those same kind of experiences. It's just a human nature, I guess, as you could say, is why why different people laugh at different things.
Earlier, Tim, you mentioned the Nazi spy in 1940, and Tom wrote in, Mo Howard played Hitler in You Nazi Spy. Did not know that.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. Another favorite, which I have not gotten Jackson to watch yet, Princess Bride.
Oh,
I
mean,
classic, right? I love it.
So
and I'm
good.
Like, you would love this, but you know, you show him the trailer, and of course, he sees little Fred Savage, the grandson who's sick, and it's grandpa comes to read to him, and you hear the grandson goes, "A kissing movie." So Jackson's like, "Yeah, I'm out." I'm like, "But it's really not a kissing movie. There's sword fighting," and he's still like, "Yeah, no." But at some point, I'm going to get him to watch this movie. But this movie. There's so much fun stuff in this movie and so much irony. And we've got, let's say, Prince Humperdinck, right? And Wesley, who is the hero in this. And I've got a little clip of Prince Humperdinck talking to his henchman here.
Are you coming down into the pit? Wesley's got his strength back. I'm starting him on the machine tonight.
Tyrone, you know how much I love watching you work. But I've got my country's 500th anniversary to plan, my wedding to arrange, my wife to murder, and Gilda to frame for it. I'm swamped.
Billy Crystal. I love everything Billy Crystal's
in.
But yeah, have fun storming the castle.
All right, that's so good. And Wally Shawn, where he is talking about, well, you think you're going to poison me with this one, but right. And like the whole mind game thing that he does, and
inconceivable.
Right.
That's another great one.
Yeah.
All right. We touched on Mel Brooks earlier, and of course he's like last
genius.
Month we talked about Alfred Hitchcock being the king of suspense, and Mel Brooks is probably the king of humor, right? And he believes that it's important to have a variety of humor in a movie, so there is something for everyone to laugh at. He also believes that it's important to have well written and well delivered jokes.
Yeah.
Well, yes. But he had some interesting things to say about humor in movies. He said, "Comedy is the lecherous little elf whispering in the king's ear, always telling the truth about human behavior. This means that comedy can be a powerful tool for social commentary and satire." And he also said, "The best comedy is based on truth. This means that the funniest jokes are often those that are based on our shared human experiences."
Right. Yeah. It's true it's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
Is that old?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I have in my notes, I was trying to think of different things that are, you know, types of humor, and I had truth, and then I had men are pigs. and it's like, and I'm not talking, excuse me, I'm not talking about humor where it's just crude, but I do think that there's like male insecurity can be really, really funny. And that's what, like, I know Woody Allen certainly people have issues with now, and I get that. But like in Play It Again, Sam, where his, you know, he wants so much to be sort of studly, like this. He wants to be Bogart.
Yeah.
And instead, like, he meets a first date, Sharon, and he's like so... He's so awful. I mean, he's just like he has an album. He's trying to be really cool, like, and the album goes flying through the air. It's a hilarious scene, but it's, I think there is some truth behind it, where like the guy trying to impress the young woman and making a complete fool of himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it rings true.
You make me think of two movies. One is The Hangover. That's mm-hmm. such a guy thing, right? Where these guys all go to Las Vegas for their bachelor yeah. party and they lose the bachelor. And right. they wake up in this hotel room. One of them's missing a tooth. There's a baby in the closet and a tiger in the bathroom. And then none of them yeah. can remember what happened the yeah. night before. right, so they have to kind of backtrack and try to find the groom and get him to the wedding. That it's absolutely hysterical.
It is.
Yeah, Mike Tyson has a little cameo in there. Yeah. It turns out stole Mike Tyson's tiger.
That's one where it's sort of based on something that isn't necessarily funny and true, though, where, you know, if anybody has ever woken up with a hangover going, oh, my God, what did I do last night?
Yeah.
You know, and which can be horrible.
Right.
When you realize what you did do. yeah. But this took that to such an absurd degree. And yeah. it's really funny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But I think that goes to, I mean, a lot of the things we're talking about here, Hitler and the Korean War and waking up not remembering, they're really traumatic events. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, as we're talking about it more and more, I'm convinced that humor is a way for us to process those things safely, because mm-hmm. otherwise we just can't. We're so horrified.
Yeah.
And I do wonder about movies we talked earlier about. I have no idea why they're funny, because I don't find them funny. Movies yeah. like Airplane and what's the one? Caddyshack. I don't get Caddyshack.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like Caddyshack.
I like Caddyshack too. It's kind of slapsticky stuff you don't like.
That's
right?
why. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big slapstick fan.
Yeah, and what's his name?
Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray. You either love him or hate him. Yeah. Right?
I love Bill Murray now. I think he's hilarious now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that the younger Bill Murray, I didn't like him.
Sorry, you don't have to like everything.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, but yeah, I know. I know so many people love Airplane.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just that the gags are just sort of too obvious. I don't know.
Yeah.
They just doesn't do it for me.
Dan's pulled something else. He's so fast back there. Go ahead, Dan.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
Don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
The classic line from the movie. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's
Mary or Chris, or Mary and Chris calling from East Falmouth. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention Massachusetts' own Ruth Gordon in Harold and Maude.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Always brings a smile. And I know it's dark humor, but
very dark, yeah.
It's just such a great standard.
Yeah. It really is.
Right there.
Well, the opening scenes are of Harold, Bud Cort, faking suicides.
Yeah.
I mean, in one scene, he's burning himself. Another, he takes out a hatchet and starts chopping his arm. I mean, it's like, so it's about self-harm, but it's so absurd that, you know, and you know, it's not really happening to the character, but it's, you know, again, taking something really serious and awful and making it
funny.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get his mother's attention.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. A caller says Four Weddings and a Funeral, another good movie, classic. And I was thinking Wedding Crashers. If you guys seen it, I love Vince Vaughn. He's so funny, and Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
They're funny together. You could sort of say wedding. They crash these weddings to meet girls, and then at the end they hook up with Will Ferrell, who used to be like the king of it, and now he's crashing funerals. What?
And he's living with his mom.
The meatloaf.
Yeah, that's
another funny one. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking about the psychology of humor, particularly in film. We'll have more after a quick break. Listening to The Point, we're talking about the psychology of humor, particularly in film this morning, with psychiatrist Mark Whaley, psychiatrist Jonathan Schwartz, social worker Jenny Putnam, and film critic Tim Miller. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation or have a suggestion. 866-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And Pat is giving us a call from Dennis. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you, Mindy?
Great.
Another Mel Brooks, but my favorite of all time is Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we mentioned that. That's like a lot of people's favorite.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I was on the phone when you mentioned it.
That's okay. It's okay. It's worth a second mention, Pat. Absolutely. We appreciate it.
I don't rewatch movies. I've probably seen it 10 times.
Yeah. I know you know you like a movie if you'll sit through it on multiple occasions, right? Yeah. Pat, thanks for that.
And laugh before the punchline. Okay, see ya.
Thanks so much. And Amy is giving us a call from Brewster. Hi, Amy.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm in my car, so you never know. But good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Two of my favorite movies that I just giggle so hard watching is, one is Meet the Parents,
right,
and the other is Step Brothers. And sometimes I hate admitting that I love Step Brothers as much as I do. it's crazy. But I also wanted to mention that growing up, when I was a little girl, one of my favorite things was to sit with my grandfather and watch The Three Stooges. And I know it's not a movie, but it just, I think, started this very twisted, twisted humor that started when I was really young, and it has kind of carried me through my life. And it's just a really strong, good, happy memory.
Yeah. Amy, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's talk to Aaron, who's giving us a call from Rockport. Hi, Aaron.
Hi there. How are you?
Great.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say this is such a fun conversation. I love humor and wit. And whoever it was that said they love Melissa McCarthy, I'm a huge fan of Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
So good.
But I was thinking, you guys haven't mentioned, and I'm thinking smart wit, Wes Anderson movies and Christopher Guest movies.
Mm.
Like Best in Show and That Whole Truth.
Oh, Best in Show is great.
Yeah. Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. And then the Wes Anderson movies, Royal Tenenbaums, is just something. I mean, they're so quirky but funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just want to, you made my day. Someone talked earlier about the stress in fight or flight, and laughter makes people safe. And I think of that often in corporate America and in the positions I've had. And there's been times you made me really think, actually, about my experience when I've been cornered in fight or flight, and I have not been comfortable enough to laugh. So this is really a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh, Aaron, thanks for the phone call. I love the way she described that quirky, because the movies, they're quirky.
So,
Best in
quirky.
Show is very quirky but funny.
Yeah.
There's some advice I could give based on a study following up, which is what the caller said. If you're in a situation like that, pull out your phone and watch some funny cat videos. that can alleviate the stress.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny you say that. This was before COVID when everybody was in the office. And I don't usually watch funny cat videos, but I just happened to have it up on my computer when somebody was visiting from Boston. And they go, are you watching funny cat videos? I'm like, busted.
There was a John Cleese did a series called Humans, I think. And I couldn't find it. It's not available right now, except if you order the whole DVD. But he did an episode on laughter. And apparently in, oh gosh, I'm going to get it wrong, but China, I think, there are some people who in the corporations, they start the day with everybody laughing. And you start out just fake laughing. Mm. But before long, everybody is real laughing because it is contagious.
Yeah.
And they found that it increased productivity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's talk to Janet, who's giving us a call from Mashpee. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Mindy. I'm just calling to point out Waking Ned Devine.
Mm. Oh, another good
really
one.
Good laugh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's really good.
Well, this is the thing, like, and people are bringing, you know, the movies that people are bringing up, like the Wes Anderson movies or Waking Ned Divine, like we were talking about before. There's so many different types of humor. Yeah. So when you say what's your favorite, do
it's
you
hard.
Mean
yeah.
the ones that made you laugh the hardest, the ones that made you laugh the most consistently? My favorite movie, which I bring up all the time, Almost Famous, there's a lot of really funny things in it. Yeah. So should that be my favorite comedy? Mm-hmm. Well, not really, because I like it for other reasons, right. yeah. too.
And it's not really a comedy. It's not, yeah. One wouldn't necessarily consider it a comedy.
I know.
Either.
Yeah. I taught a class once at the Cape Museum of Fine Arts, and I would just bring in something. And I would say, okay, this movie's really funny, and they started calling me the Prince of Darkness because they were dramas, yeah. and I find drama like, and then I go, okay, I promise next one's going to be really funny, and I go to Blockbuster to get the movie, and it's like, why is it in the drama section? And again, it'd be like some horrible situation,
yeah.
but I found humor in that, yeah. So there's yeah. so many different, you know, the Wes Andersons are so clever, and you know, and Ned Divine is it's whimsical. I mean, you know, there's just so many ways that
layers,
movies
yeah.
are funny.
Yeah. Janet, thanks for the call. Let's see, we have Will writes, "What's up, Doc?" Paper Moon,
oh, yeah.
and Madeline Kahn, the master. She oh, sure was, mm. right? Absolutely.
Yeah, those are Peter Bogdanovich movies.
Yeah, one of my favorite. Holiday, you know, there's a lot of holiday movies, Christmas mm. coming and all that. Elf, starring yeah. Will Ferrell yeah. as the human baby who slipped into Santa's sack in an orphanage and was raised by Papa Elf, Bob Newhart. And as he grows, he discovers he just doesn't have the same skill set as his fellow elves.
I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
A cotton-headed mini-nuggins. We're going to remember that. Needless to say, he heads off to New York City to find his biological father, who's played by James Caan. Great cast. No, funny yeah. movie. Yeah. It's a classic.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a definite good one. Mark, thoughts on how or why humor evolved in humans?
Well, I think one way of answering that is, why do we laugh? Why do we engage in that particular behavior as opposed to, I don't know, dancing or standing on our head or something like that as an expression? The leading theory, at least that I've heard on it, has to do with communicating. And if you think of cavemen, say, before they really had language, they could make sounds, but they didn't really have intelligible language. But you could see them perhaps sharing a leg of beef or something or other. They might grunt to communicate. And there's you can say that started, that is, mimics a little bit the start of a laughter. You know, and put that together and you got a laugh track, whatever. Mm. But I think that makes sense to communicate safety and helping one another, which is really the reason that humans got on top of the food chain.
You know, we started this with the baby laugh. So what about why? What's making them laugh? I mean, they're laughing at something, but it's like, what's going on in that little baby's head?
Yeah,
we don't really know exactly, but it's obviously they're operating the same circuits that we do when we feel pleasure and humor. The same, you know, they have the same brain that's not quite developed, but they're operating those same circuits. So I think it just is a matter of developing. Brain development.
Yeah,
really.
I think also verbalizations of various kinds are a way to discharge built up physical things in your nervous system. And so whether it's delight or pain, you know, they say that if you swear when you hit yourself with a hammer, it hurts less. So, yeah. Yeah. I think that there is this discharge of delight, and then because right. of maybe our mirror neurons, we then feel that same delight, and then it's passed around.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also in a very important social interaction. Mm-hmm. It's a way of communicating likeness or sameness yeah. with others. So if you can laugh together, maybe you can accomplish things together or resolve problems together.
Yeah. Do you know Phil? Have you heard Philomena Kunk?
No. Oh, yes.
She's British. She said, yes. What made me think of her, I think she's hilarious. She's hilarious. This clueless interviewer, like asking one expert about Egypt, were the pyramids, like, were they built from the top down? Or?
right.
But she, what made me think of her was, so you were talking about hitting your thumb with a hammer.
Yeah.
And she was like saying, isn't it something that... Jesus was a carpenter, and the first thing somebody says when they hit their thumb with a hammer is his name.
Right. Very funny. Have you seen Hocus Pocus? I mean, that we're coming up on.
Yeah.
I mean, that Bette Midler, of course, is fabulous. And that whole cast, the Sanderson sisters, for those who don't know the story, this is. It happens in Salem. A kid from California moves to Salem and he doesn't believe in all this hocus pocus. And the story is that the Sanderson sisters were, you know, witches way back when, I don't remember what year, and they were, you know, hanged. And they would come back when a virgin lit the black candle on Halloween night. So, of course, this California kid, you know, with the girl that he likes and his little sister, they go to the, and he lights the candle and they come back. And I think one of the funniest scenes is Gary Marshall as Satan, dressed up as Satan. He's not really Satan. And Penny Marshall is the Mrs. Satan, who's not really thrilled with these three witches in her house dancing with their husband. And they figure out this isn't really Satan. But it's a very funny movie. I thought it was good. I forgot
that scene.
I don't remember that scene at all.
Oh, you don't remember that?
No. I mean, it was a long time
ago.
I've only seen that movie once, I think.
Yeah,
me too.
Well, you have to refresh your memory, right?
Mindy's making it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Did this happen to you, Mindy?
No. Yeah. And it's funny because the witches say, you know, when Laverne and Shirley, when Penny Marshall is her character saying, get out, that's it. She's throwing candy bars at them and they're like, make me. And she sends her little dog, like this little Yorkie after them, and they run out of the house.
Does it bite?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. Barb and Dennis says Monty Python, especially the Holy Grail. I see a lot of Monty Python. And
Holy Grail is one of those ones that definitely makes me think about Community, because I saw bits of Holy Grail and I thought, meh. And then when I was in college, I went with my group of friends and they were all laughing. And suddenly I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the 4 years, we were quoting Holy Grail.
All right. Well, we are going to go out with a little hocus pocus music today. So to remind folks of the film, and psychiatrist Mark Whaley, psychiatrist Jonathan Schwartz, social worker Jenny Putnam, and film critic Tim Miller. Always fun. Thanks for being here and sharing all your thoughts on humor and movies this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The day started well.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
I put a spell on you, and now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying. Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. All
right. Yeah, cheer up. Let's go, guys.
Hello, sailor. My name's Wilfred. What's yours? I have put a spell on you, and now you're gone. My whammy fell on you, and it was strong. Is working, and the worst, I put a spell on you, and now you're mine.
Watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out.
She ain't lying.
If you don't believe, you'd better get superstitious.